All right, so that's in a nutshell the Obama proposals. The camp proposals are listed behind this. Again, just to reiterate, he is a proponent of tax reform in the context of simplification, of trying to broaden the base and lower the rates. So he's in favor of simplification, but he also understands that you can't take this Internal Revenue Code and enact a flat tax, because what that will do is it'll make a progressive income tax system highly regressive. That's what Herman Cain had suggested doing back during the elections and the primaries, the Republican primaries. And while it sounds very appealing to us from a simplification perspective, from the ability to go after people who may not be able to afford to pay their tax, 10% could be an awful lot. It's regressive in meaning that it's impacting those who make less more than it's impacting those who make more. Question?
Exactly.
There's a question from the table, and it says on the in the Obama proposals, there's a provision that would limit the amount of accumulated tax-favored retirement benefits. And the answer is $3.2 million aggregate value would be the maximum amount under the Obama proposals in the Green Book that any one person would be able to set aside in favored tax-favored retirement accounts. $3.2 million. They're talking about having Roth IRAs having required minimum distributions. In the Camp proposals, he's completely changing the way in which retirement plans work. He's doing away with SEPs, doing away with simple 401ks, and coming up with a simpler form of 401k / IRA system. The Obama camp is requiring, I mean, if you want to go into retirement plan benefits, Obama camp is requiring that small businesses have mandatory contributions into retirement plans. I mean, there would no longer be the ability to offer a 401k or not at the employer level. It would be a mandatory provision like what the healthcare reform provision is. Again, highly controversial. They passed healthcare reform, so who knows? I mean, maybe this could get enacted. Back to Congressman Camps real quickly. He's trying to promote reduced rates, fewer rate brackets, three brackets on the individual side, a bracket of 10%, 25%, and 35%, but broaden the base. So we're doing away with a bunch of deductions, and we're doing away with a bunch of credits. All of the items, probably about 40 extenders that are on the Senate Finance Committee list, would be thrown out under Congressman Camp's reform proposals because they're not broadening the base. They're doing the opposite. They're giving certain segments of the population certain tax benefits, which are tax expenditures. It's costing the federal government money, and is it achieving the appropriate incentive in light of tax reform? And the idea behind tax reform is try to limit the amount of special incentives that you're providing. He's also, as you can see, increasing the standard deduction substantially to $22,000 for joint filers, phased out as your adjusted gross income exceeds $517,000. So it's broadening the base. It's limiting your ability to claim all these crazy itemized deductions that you're claiming. He also says, later on, he says, if you're an employee, you can no longer claim employee business expenses as an itemized deduction on your tax return. So he's doing away with a lot of individual itemized deductions. If you look at Schedule A, as I do very closely, and what goes into the creation of Schedule A on your income tax return on the 1040, it's highly detailed. And the type of material that has to support it, you know, employee business expense is supported by Form 2106, which is supported, if you claim an automobile deduction, by Form 4562, which is also supported by, if you're claiming an office in the home, by another form. I forgot the form number. Thank you, 8109. And so all of this stuff leads up, well, Congressman Camp says, just don't allow it. Increase the standard deduction. You can see all the things he would repeal. Again, These are exemptions, exclusions, deductions, credits that may or may not achieve certain incentives, many of which are included in the extenders, but they don't broaden the base. Broaden the base is the goal. The exclusion that we currently enjoy when we sell a residence, you have to live in the residence 2 out of 5 years, right? He'd keep the exclusion, but it would have to be, you'd have to live in it 5 out of 8 years, and you can only do it once every 5 years. In other words, he's cutting back the ability to claim exclusions, claim deductions, claim credits under the Internal Revenue Code. I told you about the acquisition indebtedness limitation. Right now, if your home mortgage is $1 million plus a home equity line of $100,000, you can claim your interest deduction for that. He's basically saying, do away with the home equity line limitation and reduce all acquisition indebtedness. The maximum amount you could have for deductible home mortgage interest is $500,000. He's tightening things up. The business provisions, he wants to reduce the corporate income tax rate down to 25%, flat rate. That would get us in line with the Japanese, the French, well, not the French, but much of the European Union, much of our trading partners. The problem with this approach, again, we don't have a national sales tax. We do not have a value-added tax. Virtually every other country in the world does. They impose some form of consumption tax, which is a complex system that helps them get additional revenue. So doing this in a vacuum, I think, is short-sighted. If you're going to try to really reform the corporate system and make it like the global system, and you're not going to make the global system try to make their system like yours because you haven't succeeded in the last 50 years, then maybe you ought to consider something like a VAT, a national sales tax. No. Nope. The Obama proposals does have in it a provision that would impose a more of a national sales tax on internet sales, and giving states the right to impose taxes on all sales made within their state, use tax or sales tax. That is on the list of items being considered for legislation this year. I don't think that one's going to happen. It's highly controversial. The lobby's so heavy in the electronic commerce industry to prevent that. But it's on the table because the states are hungry for revenue and they're looking for more sources of revenue, and this is one source. Amazon is the industry leader, and they are in favor of imposing sales taxes on all sales instead of trying to get around on a state-by-state basis. Well, they have a drone in your backyard delivering your package to you. So you can see this list. We could talk about each of these items on the list. There are a variety of items on here that are appearing in the Obama proposals. There are a variety of items on here that you haven't seen before. The change in the pass-through entity taxation, I guess the biggest change is in the S-Corp area, non-resident aliens would be permitted to be shareholders and trust beneficiaries of electing small business trusts who are non-resident aliens would be permissible shareholders of S-Corporations. This is really important, by the way, and for you accountants out there who advise your clients on setting up certain entities, be aware that this is on the table. The Obama administration and the CAMP reform proposals would no longer allow S corporations to treat distributions as escaping self-employment tax or FICA. It would all be subject to self-employment tax, much as it is in the partnership world for non-material participants or material, is it non-material participants. But the idea is that they would sync up the partnership rules, the S-Corp rules, so that you can't just form an S-Corp, have the distributions avoid self-employment tax and the Medicare tax, which is 3.8% today. It is a great planning technique, but the IRS has been after
10 years.
Yeah, they've been after taxpayers. Well, there was legislation that was passed in the House 5 years ago. It was actually passed. but never enacted. The Senate didn't pass it. And so the question is, will this happen? It's on both agendas, though. It's on the Republican agenda and the Democrat agenda. Another thing that's on both agendas, and this affects the financial analysts in the room who may do hedge fund investments, and that is carried interests in investment partnerships. You're concerned about that. Investment partnership carried interest would be subject to ordinary income. That has also been on the table for not 10 years, but 20, 25 years. The lobby is strong on Wall Street to prevent that from happening. But will it happen? You know, it's on everyone's list and it keeps reappearing. If they ever get around to real tax reform, I would expect it to be on the list. Another important item in the CAMP proposals is the treatment of non-qualified deferred comp. And I'll leave you with this one. Right now, you're able to set up non-qualified deferred comp plans, and as long as the employer is not claiming a deduction for it and there is no constructive receipt of the income, then you can defer it into the future. So the employer's not getting a deduction, but you don't have to report it into income, even though it's sort of set aside in an account that may be for your benefit. The general creditors of the company have to have the ability to get at that asset in order for it not to be subject to current taxation. Their CAMP is basically saying, hey, if it's not subject to a substantial risk of forfeiture, meaning that you could lose it, it's not vested, and you know, it's unvested, you could lose it if you leave, then it's not taxed. But the minute it's vested or you have the right to receive it, even though you don't have constructive receipt, you're taxed on it.
Did you have to make an election?
10 years, I mean, not mentioned in either proposal, but it may surface in the extenders. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that one surfaces in the extenders. It's a very popular one. The references to the ability to claim, claim up to $100,000, shift it to a charity, not have it count towards your required minimum distribution, and not have it count towards your charitable contribution limitation. That was extended. It expired last year. It's on the list. Will it make it? It may. It's a fairly popular one for those who are over 70 and a half years of age. The idea is there's a ton of proposals out there that will affect all of our clients, and the question is, well, which ones are going to be enacted? Again, I think this year we should be focusing our clients' attention on the extension of expired provisions and really keeping our eyes on it over the next month to month and a half. When they hit summer recess, if they haven't gotten it passed or gotten it through to what we call a chairman's mark, past the Ways and Means Committee, past the Senate Finance Committee, in a form that's agreed to by both committees, and then they go to conference. If we haven't gotten it to at least that point by the summer recess, highly unlikely that you're even going to see the extension legislation passed this year. But if they've gotten to that point, and it seems like they're moving in that direction right now, particularly because Congressman Camp, head of Ways and Means, has said he's willing to do so, then we may see extension legislation this year before the election. And they're going to, of course, leave to go campaigning. The House will. So there's no legislative activity that will occur after that. Highly unlikely. Could be lame duck sessions. You know, we had that happen in 2013 for the 2013 tax bill. In 2012, they actually got something done because they had to. Their guns were up at each other's heads, so they had to do something. And so they did something rather radical. And it was engineered by Vice President Biden and Senator McConnell. I mean, they're the two that put together that whole thing. And that's why there were a lot of people screaming on both sides of the aisle after it was done. What did you do? What did you do? Well, we did what we had to do, because otherwise, where would we have been had we fallen off the sequester cliff? And that was where we were headed. We're still not done. The budget, the deficit, I mean, tax reform to me is a minor part of all this. So we have bigger issues, bigger fish to fry ahead of us as a country, and hopefully, Congress will start acting in a way that's more compromise-oriented, and they'll achieve the ability to pass legislation, pass budgets I mean, how do any of us live without a budget? Is borrowing unlimited forever? I don't think so. I mean, at some point, the faucet has to turn off. And so with that tax legislation this year, maybe extenders, maybe some cats and dogs, the exempt organization provisions might be addressed this year. Other than that, I don't expect to see a whole lot. And so there's lots of planning opportunities. The planning opportunities using IDGETs, GRATs, charitable, you know, trusts, all the different types of advanced estate planning techniques that we use. And it's not just for those who have more than $10.68 million. If they're building companies, if they're building assets with value, now may be the time to look at it. We can help you with it. Thank you for attending the breakfast briefing. Appreciate all your attention. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon. Hopefully June, July timeframe, we'll come out with a new topic. May not be me, maybe Catherine, maybe somebody else talking. And hopefully it'll be a topic of interest. If you have something that you want to hear about, please list it. And we'll try to bring a speaker to the table. Thanks very much.